The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, couples who want to adopt kids, they're childless for whatever reason, have to turn to inter-country foreign adoptions. Does it need reform? Well, we're delighted to be joined by Orla Traynor, who's chairperson of the statutory authority in this area, the Adoption Authority of Ireland. Welcome to the studio, Orla. Let's talk first of all about a study that you published. So 5,000 people over the last 20, 30 years have been adopted here, and you did a study to find out their quality of life and the lessons that we've learned from their experience of settling in Ireland. First of all, in terms of adoptive parents, you think the really important thing is to be honest from the get-go?
Yes, this was one of the main findings, one of the positive findings in the report, that parents set a firm early foundation of their understanding of adoption and they provide strong emotional support to the children. And we also found in this piece about the parents that the earlier they speak to the children and there's open communication about adoption, the better the outcomes are for the children. And the children said that they'd happy childhoods where they felt loved and cared for in an atmosphere of openness and communication. And they also got very good support from their peers and country-specific support, that this was a positive influence for them. And if I could just give you a little example, we had some children in from the... We did a delegation over from the Philippines before Christmas, so we thought it'd be nice to get in some of the children to meet them. And we'd very little time to organise it. We had time constraints. But they all got onto each other, the children, on their WhatsApp group. And we got 20 children in, all aged between 8 and 20. And it was lovely to see the interaction between them and how happy and well-adjusted they were. And this is what they're...
But in terms of integration, there does seem to be problems whereby at school and so on, we'll just say if the child is coloured or not clearly like their Irish parents, do they get teased? What's the best way to, you know, make people have, you know, this conflict between their heritage that's Irish and their past heritage?
Well, there's two issues. One of the issues that came out was that of identity, which is a complex dynamic because it combines experiences, relationships and culture. And it's particularly difficult for all adopted children to reconcile their birth heritage with that of their adopted families. They have questions such as, who am I? Where do I belong? How do I connect with my roots? And it's more difficult for children adopted from abroad because they have to manage their cultural heritage with that of their adoptive heritage. And what came out of the piece was that BITA, the Birth Information and Tracing Act, isn't for them, when in actual fact it very much is for them.
This is your right to know who your original birth parents were.
Exactly. And all adopted people are entitled to this right now, including children adopted from abroad. And we have a dedicated social worker whose sole purpose is to deal with children who are adopted from abroad and help them to connect with their roots. And she can be contacted on our landline at 01 8309300 or on birthinfo.ie.
But is there casual racism in the classroom?
Yes, this was one of the disturbing findings that came out, that these microaggressions, which are seemingly casual remarks based on the children's adoptive status, such as, you don't look like your parents, you're so lucky to be adopted. And these are hurtful and invalidating, and they make adopted people feel that they don't quite fit in. So coming from people they know well, and they're more prevalent as they go through adolescence and into adulthood. And these remarks apply to all adopted children, we find, including those adopted from abroad and foster children. We get beautiful handwritten letters from the children, and some of them say to us that they were bullied in school because they were adopted or fostered. So we need to... what they're saying that to us is that in order to cope with these microaggressions, that they immerse themselves in the Irish language and they also immerse themselves in sports. But what we need to do is there needs to be more education on integration in schools and colleges and in sporting clubs throughout Ireland. And there needs to be more public awareness and understanding among the public and the service providers.
And what has Bernardo's done in this area?
They do post-adoption supports. They have a very good programme. That's one of the supports that they can that can be reached out to. And if I could just go back again to the specific peer country groups. We had a group in from Vietnam. We had a delegation from the Central Authority in Vietnam in our office the year before last. And they went down to our our agency in Cork, who's an accredited agency, the Helping Hands Mediation Agency, and they got 200 families from all over Ireland to come to meet this group. And one of the children was able to give them a speech in Vietnamese and spoke to them in Irish, and they were very impressed with that.
Okay. Now, we know of many childless couples, about 500 a year, who go to you, go to Tuscal and say, I would like to adopt a child. There's very little option in terms of domestic adoption because kids aren't put up for adoption in this country anymore. And one would have thought with Gaza, with Ukraine, with climate refugees, that the numbers who are available to be adopted would go up. But it peaked. So if there's 500 couples looking for it, it peaked in 2008 where 234 were actually successfully foreign adopted. But now we're down to a tenth of that, around 24 a year. Why is it gone to a trickle?
Well, there's several reasons for that. And the main reason is that Ireland ratified the Hague Convention in 2010. And the Hague Convention implements safeguarding standards in inter-country adoption. So it's quite difficult now. We can only deal with countries who are signed up to Hague, and we have to have bilateral agreements with them. Now, at the moment, we have five countries with whom we have bilateral agreements. We have Vietnam, Thailand, the Philippines, USA and India. But we could actually, there are actually other countries that we could be looking at, and we're in discussions with the Department of Children about opening up other countries, and I'm hoping that we might be able to open one, or at least make efforts to open one before the end of my term.
So the authority would welcome an expansion of this to get it back to the numbers that it was at?
Well, I don't think we'll ever get back. I mean, the other reason is that as countries are developing, there are less children available for adoption. For example, in Vietnam last year, there were 3,000 adoptions and only 200 of those children went abroad. So that's another reason for the decline as well.
But finally, tell us about Helping Hands, this organisation in Cork, to help parents to go through this process and the role of Tuscal.
Well, Helping Hands are, as I said, are our accredited agency, and they can be contacted at helpinghands@ama.gmail.com. And that's the first step. You contact Helping Hands. They take you to the preparation course where you decide what country is best for you. Then you, Tuscal, do the interviews, and that could take a year or a year and a half. And then it goes to the local adoption committee for approval, and it comes to us then for a declaration of eligibility and suitability. And then Helping
Hands. How long does all that take?
It could take between 5 and 7 years. But if there are more, I'm hoping that the waiting list could be reduced by getting more children involved in the process.
Is it expensive?
Well, it costs maybe around €12,000 to include all the medicals and the Garda checks and the translation of the dossiers that have to go out to the country where the parents are matched with the children.
So the final word is that you're open for business. You want to facilitate as many wannabe parents as possible.
Absolutely. And if I could say that, you know, to go back to the report, that we need to acknowledge and support adopted children and help them to build a stronger sense of self and belonging. And if we can work together to create a world where every child can feel comfortable and thrive, regardless of their adoption status or background. And our report is available on our website, The Lived Experience of Children Adopted from Abroad. And it's available on aai.gov.aie.
All right, quite a mouthful there. Orla Trainer, I'm sure if you just Google Adoption Authority of Ireland, it will come up.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.